remember. Luke chapter 22, verse number 19, that's going to be our starting point this morning. And we'll be looking at some other points this morning. But Luke chapter number 22, verse number 19, we understand that this is the evening of the Passover when Jesus is getting ready to be sacrificed the very next day, sacrificed for our sins. And he's gathered his disciples together and they're celebrating the Passover together. And he does something unusual that they've never experienced before. We'll start verse number 14. And it says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." He says, I want you to do this remembering what I am getting ready to do. Now, the first thing we've got, Brother Terry, if you'll show me the first slide. It's up there, okay. Next slide. Historical events that we usually remember, okay? Historical events that we usually remember. Boom. Remember the Alamo. How many of you remember the Alamo? You were there. All right, good. Okay. We're told to remember the Alamo. Of course, at the Alamo, that cry wasn't made. That cry was made at the Battle of San Jacinto. But they remembered the Alamo, and it forged them to go forward and to fight the battle. All right, next event. Remember the Maine. How many of you remember that one? Ah, good, I got you. Okay, how many of you have heard about Remember the Maine? All right, that was the impetus to start the Spanish-American War. All right, Teddy Roosevelt, San Juan Hill, and everything else. Now, of course, when the battleship blew up there in the harbor, they didn't yell, Remember the Maine, at that time. But as they charged up San Juan Hill and all the newspapers and everything were advertising and trying to motivate the country to fight this battle, it was Remember the Maine, the battleship that was blown up. They never figured out why it was blown up. They blamed it on Spain so that they could get into the war and take Cuba, okay? And you say, wow, that's a historical thing. We're in summer. We're not supposed to be learning anything, all right? That's just a historical event. All right, the next one. All right, remember Pearl Harbor. All right, how many of you are old enough to remember Pearl Harbor? A few of you, okay. All right, remember Pearl Harbor. That was another battle cry. Remember, President Roosevelt got up and said, remember what took place, a day in infamy to be remembered of what took place. All right, the next one. All of us should remember this one. 9/11. How many remember 9/11? Where you were when it happened. We remember that. And every time September 11th rolls around, we remember that event. And so we can look down through history and we can see the sacrifices that have been made and the events that took place to motivate people to do things, to motivate our country to set down the oppressors, to motivate our country to stand up for what was right, to motivate our country and our people to say enough is enough. We have tired of this stuff. My subject, though, this morning is not to remember those events. My subject this morning and my desire is that we'll remember what Jesus has done. We'll remember what Jesus has done. See, it's okay that we remember the Alamo and we remember the Maine and we remember Pearl Harbor and we remember 9/11 and all those other events. That's okay. Remember those things. But those things don't save your soul. Those things can't change your eternity. Only what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do is going to change your eternity this morning. So then how can we then demonstrate that we remember what Jesus did? How can we demonstrate it? You hear about it in Sunday school. You hear about it in church. You hear about it on the radio. You hear about it in songs. And we're reminded, but how can you demonstrate that you remember? So this morning, we remember Memorial Day. Some of you are going to go out and decorate graves today or tomorrow. How many of you do the grave decorating? How many of you do this? Okay, nothing wrong with those. You remember. We remember Memorial Day because of the flags. Well, some of us are wearing red, white, and blue. Some of us are wearing flags. These little pins that you put on, you're going to remember Memorial Day. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you three ways that you can demonstrate that you remember what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did. Number one, remember what Jesus did is by revering his death on our behalf. By revering his death on our behalf. Go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. We're going to start there. Hebrews chapter number 9. We need to revere, remember, but revere it means hold it dear. Hold it something in awe. Hold it something that is important to us. We need to revere the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter number 23. We'll start there instead. We're going to, chapter number 9, verse number 23. Hebrews 9, 23. It says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Underline that phrase right there. To appear in the presence of God for us. That's what Jesus is currently doing right now. He's appearing in the presence of God on our behalf. Now, we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. And only something that is living can appear in the presence of God. But here's the key. For us. On our behalf. He's our intermediary. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. He's the one that shed his blood and he's presenting his blood on our behalf to the Father. But continues on. And it says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One time. Every year the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and present blood on behalf of the people, on behalf of himself. One time a year. He had to do this every single year. But Jesus died one time. One time. Now, think about this for a minute. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed yearly. And it was only good for one year. It had to be reapplied over and over and over. I praise God that once the blood is applied to us one time, that's it forever. Hallelujah. Never to be remembered again. Jesus did it once. Now it gets even more exciting. Look at this. As is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Once we die, there is a judgment time. And we've talked about that and covered that. When you die, there's going to be judgment. You're going to be judged according to your sins, or you're going to be judged according to the blood. How many of you would rather be judged according to the blood? After this, when we die, we're judged. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's going to come again, But when he comes again, there won't be any more sin. He won't have to die for sin again. He did it one time. Are you looking for his coming? Amen. Now, verse number 1 of chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, see, the law couldn't show us everything. It was just simply something for us to appear and look at, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, yearly sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So every time they came to present the blood, every time they sacrificed those lambs and those goats and those bulls, every single time, it never made the bearers perfect. Never. They were never completely forgiven. Ever. Because they had to do this on a yearly basis. That's what the law said to do. The Ten Commandments and all the other things that you look in the five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they had to follow all of those things, and then yearly they had to have the sacrifice every year. But Jesus took care of that problem. Because look what it says. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of their sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. That blood never took away the sin. It just simply acknowledged it. Let me help you demonstrate that. How many of you have seen those commercials lately where they got the fella standing up in the bank and the robbers come running in and everybody hits the ground and he's standing there and they say, who are you? He says, I'm the manager. I'm the monitor. I'm the robbery monitor. And they say, well, why aren't you going to draw your gun? He says, no, I'm just simply monitoring. There's a robbery taking place. He just simply says, hey, I'm acknowledging that there's a robbery taking place. When these sacrifices were made yearly, it was simply saying, we acknowledge that we have sinned and we need to have it covered. But it was never taken away. Never completely got rid of. Ever. So every year, they had to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Every single time. Now, I know us, and I know us as human beings. When we repeat something over and over and over again, we get tired of it. It becomes common to us. When we do it the first time, it's exciting. Yeah, we're going to go do the sacrifice, and I understand what the blood means, and oh God, thank you for doing this. And we do it, but can you imagine doing it for 30 years in a row? Could you imagine doing it for 50 years in a row? It would just start becoming old habit. Just something that doesn't mean as much anymore. But look now what it says. Wherefore, verse number 5, wherefore when he, Jesus, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. He says, God, you don't have any pleasure in that. That doesn't bring you any glory. Then said I, Jesus said, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings, offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Jesus, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And here it is, once for all. Never to be done again. Never to be repeated. You do not have to do anything on your own. You don't have to sacrifice animals. You don't have to do good. You don't have to come to church. That won't satisfy the sin. Jesus has think about it. The filth and the sin of your life. Think about the nastiest thing you've ever thought or done. Do you realize that when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, when you receive the blood, that sin is covered forever. Never to be remembered. Never to be brought back up in God's presence. When we stand again, one day in the presence of God, because remember it says that it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. When we stand before God, He will not ask us, what about this? What about that? He won't do it. Because all He will see, according to what the Bible says, is the what? The blood. The blood! Let us remember daily and revere the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He did it for us. I don't know how to get it through to you even more plain than that. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for every single human being, taking away their sin forever. So then why won't people trust that? Why won't people acknowledge that? Why won't people say, yes, I want that? Because our human nature is to do it our own selves. Now, y'all are mountain folk, most of y'all. All right? And you're stubborn. How many of you agree you're stubborn? Come on now. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. You're not making me happy here. I'm not going to ask you how many are married to someone stubborn. I'm not going to do that. And you're in a fix or you're in a situation and something's going on and somebody says, hey, can I help you? What do you usually say? No, I can handle this. Your arm can be hanging by a tendon and you're bleeding profusely and you'll say, I got this. I'll drive myself to the hospital or just give me a piece of duct tape and tape it up and I'll be okay. Now, I know that's a little silly, but literally that's what human beings do. We think that we can cover it ourselves. We think that we can be good enough and we can pay enough money and we can go to church. Or we think because our grandma and grandpa went to church that I'm okay. But brothers and sisters, that's not going to cut it. Because if that was possible, then we need to go back to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. You would bring a goat or a lamb or a bull, whatever it dictated. You would bring it. Can you imagine how this place would stink? Here on the altar, sacrificing animals every single year for every single family? You talk about a barbecue. Because then you would feel better. You'd say, you know what? That makes me feel better because I was able to do something. I can show that I'm forgiven. My friends, we don't need to do that. Jesus did it for us forever. And all you have to do is acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Trust that for salvation. Well, that seems so easy, Brother Brian. It's easy to accept it, but it's impossible for you to do it on your own. You've got to trust by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when they left that Holy of Holies and they went back to their tents, they said, we did what was required, but we got to do it again next year. When Jesus is appearing before God right now, at this very moment, Jesus says, I'm presenting my blood, Father, once for all. Can I get somebody to shout amen? Remember, revere what Jesus did for you. Why did Jesus do that? Because he loves you. Not only loved you, he loves you right now in spite of yourself. Hallelujah. Look at number two. The second way to demonstrate. The second way to demonstrate. By celebrating his resurrection. By celebrating his resurrection. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Celebrate his resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. Yes, ma'am. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Celebrate that he's alive. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See, it's not our power, it's his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We serve a risen Savior. We get to celebrate that he is alive every day, every Sunday particularly. We show up here. We're supposed to show up here on a Sunday and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And why is it so important? Because he lives, we also shall live forever. Many of you have loved ones and friends who have passed on in Christ. And you've walked away from the gravesite, sorrowful, because you missed their presence. It hurts. But in the back of your minds, you realize and understand that one day they're coming back to life. One day those bodies are coming out of the grave. One day you'll be reunited with them forever. Because Jesus lives, they live, you live, I live because of his power and grace and love. Hallelujah. Celebrate it today. Amen, brother. How many of you are happy? Raise your hand this morning that Jesus has died for you and he's risen again. You know, when they left those bodies that they had taken the blood out, you know what they did to those bodies? They burned them up and they never came back again, never to come back again. When they put that body of our Savior in the grave, they expected him never to come back again. Amen. I can just imagine them soldiers that morning when this earth began to quake and the stone rolled away. The Bible says that they fell back like they were dead. I could not imagine what that must have been like. Fall over! And then here he comes. Jesus didn't roll, or God didn't roll that stone back so that Jesus could get out. He rolled that stone back so they could see that Jesus wasn't there. I serve a risen Savior. How about you? Amen? Let's celebrate that. Number three. Number three, how do we demonstrate that we remember Jesus? By living as a sacrifice. Go to Romans chapter 12. How do we demonstrate? Say, Brother Brian, how do I show the world then? How do people know and understand that Jesus Christ is my sacrifice? How do people understand? By you becoming a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, here's the key word, brethren, fellow believers, those who are in Christ along with me, Paul is saying, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, you, yourself, you as individuals, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When they took those animals to the altar, those were dead sacrifices to be used up once. God wants you to be a living sacrifice, used up on a daily basis to bring Him glory. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think ought to be as a sacrifice to God. We ought to live our lives on a daily basis, not just Sunday mornings, but on a daily basis as a sacrifice demonstrating what Jesus has done. When people see me, they ought to know that Jesus Christ is alive. When people see me, they ought to realize and worship Him because I should be a reflection. When they see me, it ought to go there. If I'm living a daily sacrifice, living sacrifice. Paul says, I am begging you, brothers and sisters, be a living sacrifice. See, here's an important, I just thought of this, so the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. There are some religions that demand you to physically die to show your love. They blow themselves up to show that they really love their God. Our God asks us to live to show that our God is real. A living sacrifice, you're to be holy, it means set apart, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, there's the key. You don't live according to my acceptance. You don't live according to make me happy. I don't stand in judgment of your life. You live acceptable to Him, not to mankind. Brothers and sisters, be a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is reasonable. And you say, what do you mean reasonable? Because He died for me and lives for me. Don't you think I ought to die to myself and live for Him on a daily basis? That makes sense. Amen? Yeah. Okay, let me ask you, mountain folk, another question. If somebody does something good to you and does something good for you, how many of you want to reciprocate or do the same thing back for them? How many of you want to do that? Yeah. If somebody helps you out, you want to jump in and say, hey, I want to help you out back. Guess what? Our Savior died and lives for you. Died to yourself and lived for Him. Makes sense. Amen. It's reasonable. You understand? How many of you understand that? Oh, I didn't get any hands that time. It's reasonable. It makes sense. And be not conformed to this world. The world will tell you it's ridiculous and it makes no sense. The world system will say, don't listen to that preacher. He's off his rocker. Do what you want to do. Listen to what you want to listen to. Watch what you want to watch. Be involved in what you want to be involved in. It's you first. You're number one. Your God, He's not even alive. Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what the world system says. As believers, we should not be conformed to that. The world has a mold. And the world wants us to be poured into that mold. I want to be a weirdo. I want to be peculiar. I want to stand out from the world. I want people, when they see me, to see Jesus. I don't want people to see me and see the world. The world had me for 21 years. I don't belong to the world no more. How about you? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's got to be a daily thing that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to demonstrate that you remember what Jesus did? Then be a living sacrifice daily for Him. And here's the key word, living. Living according to His will, not your own will. So revere what Jesus did. Celebrate that Jesus is alive. And then be a living sacrifice daily. And if you'll do that, then you can remember and demonstrate that, what Jesus has done for you. Watching the news this morning, they went to the graveyards, particularly all the military graveyards, and they put a flag at each tombstone. They did one of my grandfather's and my father's, I'm sure, in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And one day when I die, if the rapture does not take place, they'll put one at mine. Just like they did at your loved ones and friends. But you know what happens? Is they eventually come back and take that away. Because the flag can't stay there forever. But when Jesus died and applied the blood to you, nobody can remove that from you. It can't be washed away. It's a banner of truth. Revere it. Celebrate it. And live it. That's how we celebrate Memorial Day. That's how we celebrate. Let's all stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That's how we celebrate Memorial Day. Remembering what Jesus has done. Can you raise your hand this morning and say, Brother Brian, I want to remember Memorial Day that way. Would you just raise your hand in celebration of that today? Amen. Let's celebrate Memorial Day the way God wants it to be. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice of men and women down through the years to give us a free country. There's no way that I can personally pay them back. The sacrifices and the heroism on the battlefields of our country and overseas. We remember that as Americans. And we say thank you to those families especially. But God, those sacrifices didn't save our souls. Lord, we want to remember today also, and more importantly, the sacrifice of your Son. The blood that was shed. Help us to celebrate that and remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ today. But Lord, I know there may be some souls in here this morning that don't have that celebration. Maybe perhaps, Lord, they've never really trusted Jesus their Savior. Maybe they've played the game. And maybe because grandma and grandpa did or their mom or dad did, maybe that's what they're hoping and hanging on to. But Lord, some in here don't have their sins covered. Maybe they're putting it off till another year or another day. Today's the day of salvation. For the precious souls in this very room that need Jesus, may they come today and let us show them from the Bible how to be saved. So they can have the blood cover them. That's the only way to live. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. For it's in your name we pray these things. Head bowed and eyes closed. You'll sing, Brother Tanner, please. Won't you come this morning? You need need Jesus as your Savior.